We don't want to survive the pandemic.
We want to find ways to thrive.
Hi guys, welcome back to our podcast. Today we got a chance to speak to Johnny, who is a graphic designer and artist, and also a spiritual director. We asked a little bit about what that was, but we focused on what being present in the presence of God means and how that can help us thrive.
So there's just some brilliant insights in today. We thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, didn't we? And just got some real practical tools about what it means to find God in the ordinariness of life. I think we might have even referred to Groundhog Day, but Johnny really gave us some insights into what it means to find God in the midst of that and how that can utterly transform it. So we talked about things like the breath prayer. I don't know. Go and find out what that's about. And you've just got to listen to that point where he talks about where he did a 39-week retreat thing in the midst of life and how that built up for him a web, if you like, or a network of love, for him to recognise a network and a web of grace and love that he was part of as he went through this reflection. So much good stuff to discover today.
Welcome, Johnny, to our podcast. Thanks for talking to us today. So I know what a graphic designer is and an artist, but I was wondering what a spiritual director really is. What does that mean?
Yeah, good question. It's not a title that gets thrown around very regularly, to be honest. And I don't go around telling, that's not how I introduce myself generally. When I am a spiritual director. But I do work in the area of spiritual direction, so someone to accompany you as you're considering who you are with God, and how God is with you in your life.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's cool. So we were kind of hoping that you could help us with this question that we're exploring today. We've called it be present, being present in God's presence. Clever, right. I think clever,
yeah.
Being present in God's presence. And I guess we were thinking about this idea that church isn't happening, and for lots of people, myself included, I think I enjoy corporate worship as a place where I have a sense of God's presence and I find it there. And kind of for me, I know people like YouTube, but for me, YouTube worship doesn't quite replace that. Although lots of it is good. I just wondered, can God be found outside of that? Can God be found in your real life, in your everyday life, even in your home? What do you think to that?
Yeah, I hope so. And actually, like I say, the whole thing of spiritual direction assumes that that is the case. That, that would be my assumption when I meet with anyone, that God is present in someone's life. Not, yes, maybe on a Sunday, yes, maybe as part of a church service, but yeah, God is present in the ordinariness of life and the particular life of that person and their who they are and where they find themselves. I do believe that God can be found in the everyday, in our homes, in our gardens, if we're lucky enough to have one, or going for a walk in the park, and even in maybe the repetitive tasks of our work, that those could be opportunities for that God could be present there also.
Some ways or something that could help us begin to.
So there's hundreds of years ago, there was a guy called Brother Lawrence, a monk, who talked about practicing the presence of God, and his desire was to turn his attention to God just in the ordinariness of his life, and his job in the monastery was to wash the dishes, so he had like a pretty not a glamorous job. He wasn't leading the Eucharist or anything like that. He wasn't doing any of the liturgy or those kind of things. And so that just as a basic statement is just to orientate our attention to God would be a starting point. But that might just sound hard to begin with. Or what does that look like?
Yeah. How would you do that? What is a focus point for you?
Yeah. So breath prayer is something which I'd think about at this point. So that can be something that can be practiced at any point in the day, but it does help to actually give deliberate time to do it. And so breath prayer is where we're praying, but our breath is very much involved in it. So we're breathing in and being conscious of God, and breathing out and being conscious of God, and then maybe even applying words to that. So so in the, yeah, again, hundreds of years ago, those monks and nuns who retreated to the desert would pray, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And they would align that with their breath, so they could pray always. They could keep that going with their breath. More recently, people have added other things that you could pray with that. So one I like, which I've heard, is breathing initially with the phrase, I am here. So recognizing I am in this place at this time. And then breathing with, you are here. So noticing God is in this place at this time. And then we are here together. That those two things, both being true, mean that God and I are in this space together. So, yeah, just settling ourselves into that. So, and finding a way that that can go with our breathing. So, yeah, can I do the whole thing in, I am here, can I breathe out, you are here. And maybe I need the inhale and exhale, depending on, you'll notice how you are, but you'll find a way that works for you, and just letting those words flow with your breath. I am here, you are here, we are here together. And then that becoming something we associate then with our breath. If we practice that in the quiet place, then when we go into our everyday tasks, things around the house, things, you know, outside, going for a walk, our breath then becomes something we take with us into our lives.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually, the verse of the day today, I just looked this morning, and it's that verse from Thessalonians that says, pray continually.
Ah, oh, well, great. Yeah, so that's it really plays into that. So, that's the kind of question it answers. It's there's this statement in Thessalonians of pray continually or pray always. And then how can we do that? What does that look like? I can't have my head in my hands, or I can't be however you like to, or like hands together, or however you.
Eyes closed.
A typical posture for prayer. But is there a way I can pray continuously? And this is playing into that my very breath becomes my prayer. It's something I receive and I give back to God. Mm. And I will take that with me wherever I go. I don't need an app on my phone for that. It's there, it's free, it's available to me. And therefore, let's use that. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So that's kind of exploring something of God's presence and how God's presence is around, and we can be alert to that or aware of that. Does that kind of creating a more awareness for us and, making prayer not an activity in terms of trying to ask for something, but something that becomes the very breath of our life to come to God with that. That's very cool.
Yeah, and awareness is a good word, because it isn't really, it's helpful to have good words, and maybe even like an object that is helpful, like, prayer beads or a holding cross or something, or words which actually, orientate us to God. But it's not that those words are particularly, they're not magic words. They're words which orientate our attention to God. Mm. And that's the important thing, our attention being orientated to God.
There's a name, isn't there, of God, which is Yahweh, which I've heard over my DTS that was what people use as that breath prayer, that breathing in the Yahweh, that really aligning themselves with God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good thing to bring up, Ruben. I've heard that as well, that a rabbi described that the Yahweh is like their breath-like sounds, and perhaps that's the whole point. The name of God given, right at the beginning in those early scriptures is this, God being so core to life that his name can be said in the very way we breathe.
Yeah, and it makes me think about Genesis, that, you know, that God breathed life into us, and that sense of just giving that back constantly and bringing it in and giving it back.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just something like, you can't rely on just one breath, that you know, works by the receiving and giving.
Yeah.
And then give it out, you don't receive it again. And
yeah,
really profound. So to spend time with that, just as your breath being prayer and just sitting with that, can be really, like, it can really shape you and change the way you engage with your life, that receiving, giving.
Does that link to the thriving thing then? Do you think is that sense of, I really like that. I've not thought about that sense of the breath of God, the breath we have is the breath that God's given. We were talking in our kind of intro podcast about how a thriving tree has to draw life from beyond itself. It doesn't find its life within itself, as if it's it has to find something beyond itself.
I like that. It's the definite responding to what's been given, and I think that is helpful in prayer, actually, because there can be assumption that we start the prayer conversation, but really it's a response to what has already been given, and on a very like immediate level, that what we've initially been given is life, and the way that is continuously lived out in us is through breath, and obviously all the other
aspects of our
bodies.
I noticed on your Instagram feed, I think yesterday, something around this idea of consider the lilies or something.
So I was just thinking about that. There's this bit in, it appears in Luke's gospel and in Matthew, of consider the wildflowers or consider the lilies of the field. They do not sow, or I forget the whole phrase, and therefore do not worry. And so often we kind of like, we skip over it and go, therefore do not worry. So we skip to the teaching point and then kind of go, oh yes, I really mustn't worry. But I was considering the phrase and actually considering the wildflowers I was seeing in my garden. And just wondering, what if we don't take that as just Jesus's trying to get us to a teaching point very quickly, but he's actually, there is something about not worrying which is important, but he's inviting us to a spiritual practice which forms do not worrying in us. Because we pause and we consider what is there in front of us. And in this case, the wildflowers, we consider the wildflowers. And that, I guess there's also the birds.
It's not just an illustration sort of thing, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's not just an illustration, da, 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 da. And what I really wanted you to hear was this, but this is something, and I guess in it you hear, like, this is something I have done and I noticed this. Like, this is what was formed in me. Why don't you engage in this practice of considering lilies? Or as you do that. It's a practice of consider, I suppose, or a practice of noticing, a practice of stopping and seeing what's in front of you. And I think there is something about wildflowers or just what we see in the park, or trees and things, which has a particular thing for us to notice and is different from noticing a chair, because, you know, something that humans have been involved in, although there's value in that also. But there's a real invitation there to start to consider what we see in front of us. And just the wonder of wildflowers and other plants. Pausing with those.
Why do you think wildness as opposed to man-madeness? What do you mean?
I don't want to take away completely from the man-madeness, because I think there is something in that. And as a designer and an artist, I'm interested in the opportunity.
There is
something about the wildness, because it happens without us, like particularly wildflowers, like they're beautiful without us tending to them. They sprout up and surprise us. And I think that's one thing that we're noticing at the moment, like walking around, like things haven't been tended to in the same way. And so we've got these like wildflowers popping up all over the place, on pavements and things. And people are starting to notice them now. I've seen that in newspapers and articles of people noticing these wildflowers. And one botanist has been going around like drawing in chalk, this plant, it has this name, and inviting people to notice it and to name it.
Yeah, that is really interesting. That thing that was a nuisance becoming something that actually is a learning point or something that you're interested in all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Just because the situation changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's obviously not a good situation we're in overall because of all the tragedy that's happening. But there's these moments of beauty amidst that, and many of us are getting the chance to slow down to notice those. I realise there are some people who are working very hard for us on our behalf at the moment in the frontline services. But there's people are going out for walks more, making the most of these one chances out to exercise and noticing these beautiful things that have been there often all along.
And we've just not noticed them. We just walk on by or consider them a nuisance, as you say, or
rush too fast and miss it, destroy it, or get rid
of it. Yeah, exactly. Which reminds me of the Ferris Bueller quote from the 80s movie, life moves pretty fast, and if you don't stop and take a look around once in a while, you might just miss it. That involved bunking off school, but mock stoning.
Have you even heard of that stuff?
No.
Oh wow.
I think you'd like it. but there's something about like deliberately like slowing ourselves down because we're aware that there are plenty of things in life which keep us moving fast. And or keep us distracted, keep us entertained, and that we can miss some really basic things in life, or just some basic pleasures and beauties in life.
Yeah, and actually, that distracted is a really good point, especially in now where we've all got phones that we can all be on it all the time. Especially people my age and younger than me, like walk with our phones in front of our face and miss everything.
Older people would never do that.
Yeah.
I've seen everyone do it. I've seen myself do it. It is a distraction, and it's a distraction that kind of gets in us in some way, I think. There's a kind of, we notice sometimes we can go, there's something about that scrolling through and that the momentum of that kind of catches us, as well as the other things in our life, the things we do, the trying to get try and finish something by a certain deadline, that kind of thing. And then there's these ones like phones where we choose to engage in these, like just seeing more and more things, scroll. Yeah. And there's a kind of momentum that builds inside us, which could be just trying to see everything that's available to be seen, or other things, worries, concerns, desires for affection, desires to give affection, desires to get things done. Those have a kind of a movement in those which we know affects us, which we know moves us. And when we first stop, that's one of the first things that it's like, I've stopped, but there's something within me that's still got like some momentum, some energy. And so it takes a bit of time for that to steal down as well often.
Yeah, that kind of takes us to the being present piece of that little phrase, being present in God's presence. I guess it's taking us to a little bit that side of it, of what it means to be present. And as you say, there's plenty of ways in which we're not present because we've got all of these other things, demands and inner momentum, which we're just going to come back to that in a moment. But I think just thinking about the going for walks, what you notice, and that sense of being present and, you know, noticing wildflowers, all that sort of thing. I know you've got a little picture there, of one example of that, which I thought was really excellent. Could you tell us?
So here's a picture here of some blossoms. So that's, we're recording this in May, so that's yeah, it's the right time for this. That photo is actually from a year ago. But yeah, I was going for a walk, and I was walking, like, it's normal for me to go for walks in the middle of the day, and I'd noticed this blossom in the trees, and it was just phenomenal. Like, many of us are like, yeah, just draws you to, wow, that's incredible. So all this colour out, and I was just like, wow, this is just wondrous. What a wondrous thing. And I enjoyed seeing it for the next few days. And within that, it's like, oh, there's such goodness in this world, God. You know, what a beautiful thing. And then 2 weeks later, I was walking the same route, and all the blossom had gone from the trees, and it was all on the floor. And I was like, what a terrible waste, you know, in one sense, but also how reckless that beauty was. How reckless for that beauty to be displayed, only to last for a couple of weeks. And I think actually recently I took that photo, and my comment with it was, now showing in your park for a limited time only. because it, you know, it comes and then it goes pretty, you know, relatively quickly. Yeah. So there I was, just noticing all these petals just all falling from the tree, now on the floor, and just thinking how reckless, beautiful, reckless beauty, and just, whoa, it's all over. And it really aligned actually with an experience I was going through just in life, where a real hope I had, which showed so much promise and so much beauty, had seemed to have just like collapsed, like the opportunity or that was there just seemed to fizzle out and disappear. Mm-hmm. And I'd been wondering, well, what's come of all that? That there just seemed so much hope and promise in that. It really felt like something that God had given or God was involved in. And now it's not there. And I was looking at these petals, thinking, oh, but these petals, they're now like this carpet of petals, like someone would lay out before a dignitary or someone like that, and like a royal road or something, and then I realized, oh, and I'm walking on these petals, this beauty just like strewn at my feet, and it just recast that lost hope for me, that there's something in this, and there's something for me, not to just say all is lost, but maybe it's different. The beauty is different, and has had a different future than I imagined.
Yeah,
wow. I'm sure that's a profound thought for many people at the moment. You know, lots of people have that sense of loss, of hopes, dreams, things that they've had to let go of, begin to let go of, maybe beginning to realise they need to let go of at the moment. And the way that God can turn that and reveal another element of beauty in the midst of it. So pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. And I guess that sense of God being in that moment, being aware of his presence, allows God to speak through what is noticed to help that.
All things can be opportunities to be attentive to God.
Yeah, that's good. I like that picture a lot.
Actually, that just reminds me of that kind of being aware of all things. And there's so about a year and a half ago, I was being taken through a Jesuit practice called the Ignatian exercises. So it's this long period of prayer over a number of weeks. So 30 odd weeks, between 30 and 40 weeks of being taken through these weeks of prayer with particular things to do, but right at the beginning, a key thing, which is to kind of set a principle and a foundation that takes you on throughout, is that God can be found in all things. And so a real key thing with that is to notice God's grace creation, and not just God's grace in the moment of creation, but the sense that it is ongoing. There's an ongoing grace that we receive through the unfolding of life around us. And so that can be blossom, But there can also be, and this is why I didn't want to completely discount the man-made, but it can also be the man-made things as well. So I'm, yeah, so I'm sat on a chair now, and that's a sign of grace to me that what a privilege I have to sit in this comfortable chair at this time. But then to just follow those routes through, but then someone made this chair, and what a gift that is in my life, that there is someone who took the time to make this chair. Oh, and this chair's made of wood, and that person crafted the wood. Oh, what a gift it is that person was able to get hold of crafted wood and treated wood. And we just kind of follow these things through. And I remember one morning spending a bit of time doing that and like jotting down all these things. I had this whole web of different ways that I was receiving this ongoing gift of life in creation.
So you kind of notice yourself at the center of this wonderful network of grace that sustains you, has brought you to this place and sustains your life. Is it something like
that? Yeah, absolutely. But the vastness of it being so big that I wouldn't know if I was at the center or wherever. I just I was but there was, I was surrounded, I was definitely in its midst.
All of a sudden, life, even just sitting at home, feels like a network of blessings rather than a lonely place of...
Yes, exactly.
...of discontent.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's something about being present to the present moment, what's right in front of me now, and there's a kind of gratitude element there. What an amazing thing it is to be alive and to be in this space at this time.
Yeah.
So just going back though, so what you're saying is you did what? You did what for 30 odd weeks?
The Ignatian spiritual exercises, which comes to us through the Jesuit tradition. So they're a monastic movement have been around for 400 or 500 years, started by someone called Ignatius in Spain. And so his thing was wanting to, what am I about, I guess, was his question. And he was holding that. And then through that was kind of found these ways of engaging in prayer, which then he taught others in, and a way of noticing God's grace to him, noticing where he doesn't experience God's grace, and therefore where is that leading him to respond to God in ways which are life-giving and honoring. And
so then you got kind of invited into one of these retreat kind of modes or something to learn these practices, is that?
If I was a Jesuit priest, which I'm not, then I would do like a 30-day retreat, just like go away to a retreat center and do 30, like a whole month of this. And they would call that the 20th annotation. But for someone like me who isn't an ordained priest, then there is the exercises in ordinary life, which they call the 19th annotation. And so that's then extended those 30 days over 30 odd weeks.
Wow.
So you can do it as part of your everyday life. But sometimes actually it will last longer. So I have a friend who's been doing this with a 90-year-old Jesuit priest, a key thing for them actually is repetition. So if you find God's grace or God doing something in the moment, then you'll return there and just see if there's anything more to be gleaned from that. And so hers has lasted well over a year because this 90-year-old priest is patiently just returning and just slowly moving through these.
I mean, I'd be like tick it off. I've done it. I did it. Okay. Was it not right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's different to that. Like it's not just there's definitely not just a just get it done type thing, but it's what can be appreciated in this, and the repetition becomes a way of kind of returning to that and to appreciating more and more, treasuring more and more what was there.
Makes me feel so impatient.
Yeah.
I feel frustrated even as you're describing it.
Yeah. Like, just want to get to the end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I want to get it done.
I guess the push is to make it a little more internal than that, sort of create a natural rhythm about praying and being with God and spending that time rather than tick it off as a task.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is the repetition of it forms us. And so, I mean, anyone who would do that, by the time you get to the end of 30 weeks of that and you've been doing that every day, you don't just stop at the end because you've got this kind of positive habit of just, oh, this is what I do. And actually, this is what I enjoy doing. I've noticed, I've spent time doing this and looking back on how it was, and I've realized I enjoy it when I do that. Like, yeah, right. My life is good when I spend time doing that. And right. It affects me throughout the day.
So that sounds like we talk this, the breath prayer, that sense of God as you walk through life is there, but there's also kind of stop moments or pause moments are there as well. I mean, how do those two things, or, I mean, you talk about the inner momentum and that sort of thing.
Definitely both and, the times, yeah, we find God in our everyday lives, we notice him in our everyday lives, and there's the taking the time aside to do that. And really it's the take time aside that enables us to do the other bit. I think if you don't take time aside, it's easy to get distracted or even we might miss what we're looking for. I think the taking time aside enables us to really savor what the flavor is, so to speak, and what the sense of being still with God is like, or what it's like to be in God's presence and just notice him in a room in quiet, and then later in the day when we're stood in a queue at the supermarket, then it's just, pausing, going, I know there's that phrase in one of the Genesis stories with Jacob, and he says something like, God was in this place and I didn't know it, or I hadn't perceived it before, or something like that. And but that kind of taking time deliberately aside means later on in the day, you can go, God was in this place and I didn't perceive it. So there's a definite need for both. And the brother Lawrence, who I mentioned right at the beginning, who used this phrase, practicing the presence of God, and that was very much the core of his prayer. He still did his regular times of prayer, for which for him would have been 5 or 8 times a day, deliberately set aside time. So it's not a choice between one or the other, or that one replaces the other, but that they work together.
Yeah. You started to make an interesting point just before this, that you notice it have a difference in your day when you spend time with God. Do you have any sort of examples of what that looks like for you?
Yeah, good question. So one that comes to mind is I've got two examples of this actually. So the first one's a more positive one, the second one's a more negative one, in that order, strangely. We love our upward trajectories, don't we? Like this shows that we do a bit more of that kind of thing, kind of up and down of things. But I was stood at the sink, we'd finished our evening meal, and we'd kind of cleared up, but there's still stuff to be washed up at the sink. Everyone else had gone to watch some TV, and I was left at the sink doing the washing up and just looking out the window. But it was just this real moment of consolation of, oh, wow, what a lovely moment this is. I'm washing the dishes, like I've got time to do this. I'm looking out the window and look what's out the window. It was this, and God, you're here. Like I'm not alone in this. And this is actually really, this is a really lovely moment. And I was just really treasuring it. And I remember thinking, well, that was beautiful. Oh, and I'm so just so pleased that was an ordinary part of my life, as ordinary as washing the dishes. it must have been about 2 weeks later, I caught myself after I'd spent a few minutes doing this, of being same situation after dinner, I was at the sink, everyone was watching TV, and I was chuntering away to myself, wow, I'm here washing the dishes, and where are they? They're in there watching TV. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but the situation was pretty much exactly the same. I had the same view in front of me, the same window. I had pretty much the same dishes. Everyone else in the house was in the same location. There was just an internal difference in terms of how I was experiencing the moment. And it wasn't until after, you know, I was able to look back in it and go, hold on a minute, that was the same. There was just a different, where my attention was very different. So before, my attention had God in the view, and there was, and it wasn't God was in my attention and therefore I was elsewhere. It was God was in my attention and I was very present to what was in front of me, to the ordinariness of life. And it was very beautiful. And the other one, my attention was my own just discontentment and feeling dissatisfied with the situation.
I mean, we're shocked by that disgraceful behaviour. Obviously, no one, we wouldn't ever do that. But
never grumble at the dishes. Or...
I was fascinated, isn't it? Because you've got the same situation, you've got the same, as you said, the same window, you've got the same job, the same circumstances, even like God presumably is the same in that moment. Really, the only difference is kind of what's going on in here.
Yes, yeah. I mean, my attention wasn't on God in that way, so I wouldn't have known, but I can't imagine God shuntering to himself. absolutely. And it's just, yeah, a real reminder to me that there's different ways that I can engage in a very ordinary situation. And one can feel very life-giving, and one can feel like a bit of a spiral down into... nothingness.
Groundhog Day can be different, though. Or something.
Yeah, exactly. And that film has a lot to talk about. I think actually,
that's one for another podcast.
Yeah.
So we talked about these stop moments. Then, have you got any tips for us on what that looks like?
To do that, nearly.
Yeah, think about inner momentum. You talked about a little bit, or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. Breath. The breath thing can help, but also, one I quite like is there's a phrase that comes up in the Psalms a couple of times. So it's this phrase, "Be still and know that I am God." And actually what's interesting is that the phrase comes up acknowledging that the world isn't, you know, everything is not all rosy all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. There is difficulty in the world. So it's not just a trite saying. But it's a real invitation, and it's I love the way that it's like it's heard, like it's not like a human saying, "Oh, be still and know that God is God." It's this kind of voice to hear, like, "Be still and know that I am God." But the way that I've enjoyed engaging with that is to hear that phrase, so to say it to yourself, "Be still and know that I am God." And to pause with that, and then just to slowly reduce the phrase down. So taking a word off the end and until it becomes just one word. So it's "be still and know that I'm God," pause, and then "be still and know," pause, "be still," pause, and then "be." And then just to rest in that space where it's just the invitation is to be. And then you realise, and I am. I'm here. And it's a bit like the breath prayer I mentioned earlier, that I am here, you are here. We are here together. That, you've asked me to be still, and I'm here, and I am with you. And then just to treasure that. And I think that reducing down then helps us, because there is some speed in us. And so the slowly reducing down to that one word, this slowly reduces that inner inertia or momentum that's in us.
It's funny, yeah, that like that "be still" feels like I'm trying to be still, you know, like I've got to work at it. So when you reject that word "be" out of the end of that journey is really quite different, isn't it? Where you go, okay, I've journeyed with God to a place of now not trying, not doing, but just of settling into a space with God.
Yeah, Yeah,
and then of course the phone pings and
there's some certain things, actually a good point, there's some certain things you just you can make it easy for yourself by just getting the environment a bit simpler before you start, like phone to do not disturb, and that's actually a good point, because I think having somewhere to sit that is easy, that just makes that process easier, turning the phone to do not disturb, closing the door, or just being somewhere it feels like you can, that's a space that you're giving over to this time. And then actually to just notice, I think the first thing is often you sit in a space and it's the first time you've sat in that space and been quiet in it, is you just start to notice the ordinary sounds of that space. So the heating being on and just going, which is a sound which is probably there all the time or a lot of the time, and you haven't heard it, or the neighbor's dogs barking, and might be birds tweeting, but that you might like that one, so that's okay. So that's gonna happen. There's gonna be these background noises, and so acknowledge them. Just say, oh yeah, they're there, and then right, and that's fine. I won't fight them, because then you'll spend the entire time just fighting that distraction. So just acknowledge it, and then right, I'm gonna turn my attention to God. And then after that, like we talked about, you'll notice the stuff on the inside, the inner noises, and then do the same, acknowledge them. And they're there, but we're just going to orientate, my attention's not going to go there. I'm choosing to put my attention towards God. And then these words, be still and know that I'm God, be still, be, enable us just to then, again, just to slow our pace down.
What those inner noises? Sorry, what, I mean, you don't mean like your gurgly stomach.
Yeah, although you might notice that. the inner noises of, the thing I need to get done, my to-do list, the thing I'm worrying about at the moment, the person whose affection I really want to receive in some way, the way that I want to make a difference in the world. Those things, they're there. They're part of our lives. So yeah, they're there. I acknowledge them. That's not where my attention's going to go in this moment.
It's cool. It takes it into a space where those noises aren't actually bad, but they are just not a focus at that point.
Exactly. As soon as we start to, some will be better than others, but as soon as that kind of editing of, oh, this is a good one, this is a bad one, and some of them actually will be like very good or holy, of like, oh, I think I've got this idea about God, or I could use this in a talk to explain God's goodness to someone. All very well and good, but it can just become noise. That's just this neat idea which we go down, and a bit of a like a kind of a rabbit which we chase, and then before we know it, we spent 5 minutes thinking about this wonderful idea we've had about God, rather than just being still with God.
Yeah. Is that a difference? I can't pick the verse for the life of me, but it talks of a group of people that know about God and know of God, and then the difference between them and the group of people that know God, and that knowing the heart and the where God is at actually can change completely how you choose to act and how you choose to live. It's good.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Difference between knowing about God and knowing God.
Yeah.
And there's something there with, you know, the taking time aside allows us to really get a sense of what it is to know God and what God's like, God's manner with us, God's way of being with us.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, in the other points of our day, we go, oh, that's got that quality to it. That's got this moment has the quality of how God was with me this morning, or how God has been with me every morning because I've been doing that. It's got that quality to it. This is, again, probably another thing for another podcast. There's a kind of discernment thing in that, of like this moment has, or there's something about this which doesn't have that moment. Quality to it. Well, I'm not sure I'm as happy with that, but
yeah,
that's one for probably another time.
I like that word. This moment's got a quality about it that reflects what I know of who God is, that that you're spotting it somehow.
Mm.
That's good. I think we should probably wrap this up now, do you think?
Yeah.
Just one kind of final thought. We were talking about wildflowers, and I don't know if this can link in or not, but we talked about the ripping up of wildflowers in your garden. I just wonder whether that's got anything.
There's this. So we moved into a new house a couple of years ago and came to this garden. And I'd heard from people who are good at gardening that you don't rush to do the gardening in a new.
I never rush to do the gardening.
So you make the assumption that there could be some good stuff going on in that garden and you need to find out what it is. So I kind of knew that was the case. I hadn't. But then this one bush was flowering particularly well, and it looked amazing. And then at the bottom was some weeds, and I thought, well, that's just kind of spoilt that view that I'm looking at, so let's pull those up. And then a few weeks later, maybe a month later, all these wildflowers started coming up all over the garden, except for in this one patch where I had done the weeding. And I was like, I pulled up wildflowers of that, just waiting to show their beauty at a later time. So it's become a real illustration to me of that. It's not being quick to judge something or to uproot it, but to be a bit more, to be slower in my attention to it.
That's good.
Not just taking time in the moment, but actually taking time over an extended moment to just stop and just wait. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Well, thank you, Johnny, for chatting to us. It's been really, really good. I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot, I feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fun. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks for inviting me to the conversation. It's been good.
Great. I reckon we might have it back, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
There's some good stuff there.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, brilliant. Thanks so much, Johnny. Really cool. Your contributions to thriving and being present in God's presence. Thanks. Well, that was really brilliant, wasn't it? What a great conversation with Johnny. I really felt like there was some brilliant insights there. And I really felt like he lived it as well. You know, he was doing it, which made it really inspiring.
Yeah, sort of took you on the journey with him rather than feeling like he was teaching you about it. It was good to sort of be in that place. And
Yeah.
I loved it. I really, really liked him. You know, I feel more equipped now to go and to take a moment. And even though I don't seem to have lots to do, it can still feel like a busy day, but to take a moment and really just appreciate where I am.
Yeah, that idea of slowing down. I know that lots of people probably, and I feel like that, I don't feel like I'm slowing down in the sense of I've got less to do. I know some people do have that. But I do feel like there's a slowing down in the sense of, like, we're not going outside of the borders of our house. You know, that like the inputs and the opportunities are less. So there is a sense in which I can understand the slowing down, but also I got the benefit of slowing down as well.
Yeah. And his illustration there about those wildflowers that looked like weeds as well, I really feel a sense of that, even though we're in this place where, you know, don't look for the things to do. If things are waiting, let them wait and let see what they can flourish into, and letting things lie for a moment.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's really good. How did you think, what did you think about the whole breath prayer thing?
Yeah, I love that. I actually tried it last night.
Did you?
I put on some backing music, and I just took a moment to try, like, test it out, see what I thought, and just spend that time to, you know, say that God, I am here, and that God is here with me, and it was.
Hold on, what is it? I am here.
I am you here, are here. You are here, and we are here together.
Okay.
It did feel a little fun. You don't have to do the hands. I found it helped me in some way. I think that it felt strange to sort of start with, especially if you find that you find God with people, which I have found a lot. But actually, was really good, and that just, you go away with a more sense of peace and just calm serenity, nearly, I guess. I don't know.
And how was the background music?
The background music was interesting. I put on a plant growth playlist because I've just got some house plants,
And I googled it, and it said that they like music.
Plants like music.
Plants like music. Maybe apparently, go and look that up. That is that's a fact from Google. Okay. It might not be a fact. Please tell me if it's not. Yeah, but I loved. So then again, I loved what Johnny was saying about that sort of web of blessing
right.
that he sort of found himself amongst. Yeah. I don't know what you thought about that. But...
Yeah, no, I thought that was incredible, that sense of going back through understanding where you are and tracing that back and seeing... I mean, he was contrasting the wild and the man-made, but in the end, all of the man-made goes back to the wild, if you like, or to nature or whatever, yeah. And that sense of provision from God that stands behind it all. But yeah. Also, yeah, in my mind, I've got this vision of me and this network of people who have... been part of sources of grace and blessing and love into my life that brings me here. And even when times when I guess I feel a bit more isolated because of my connections with people, it kind of makes me feel like, yeah, no, I am connected. I'm part of this. Okay. That, you know, in a new way, relational connections to me again, as a new gift in the way that he talked about that.
Yeah. I know I said it in the conversation, but that sense of at that point, this, sitting at home all of a sudden feels like almost a community thing, almost something that you feel like you're in with people rather than just something that is your own. I don't know, so was it last year, a year before last, we were out of our house because of our house flooded while we were on holiday.
Yeah.
And all of the furniture we had in the house that we were staying at was a gift from other people, and Mum always said that it felt like she was surrounded by her friends, and it almost gives you that sense of...
Okay, that's what she meant.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty clever. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we suddenly had to furnish a four-bedroom house over by like 3 days, and it was just, pulling gifts from wherever, and it was amazing. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But the sense that even that is continual wherever we are and wherever you're at right now, it's the same for you too.
Yeah, that's good. It's very good. I think I also thought it was useful, this thing about some of the around stopping and those moments where you're just trying to spend time with God. There were some real good practical tips there, you know. And then, so you kind of got this settling, and then you've got the external noise, you know, that you begin to accept. It's interesting, you talked about not fighting them off. You just recognize them, like you just let them be in the background.
Yeah.
But then the next phase of then this internal noise, but then you do the same thing of just acknowledge the fact that they're there. And I think I'm always trying to go, shut up, you know, I'm trying to get on with stuff.
Yeah.
Or not get on with stuff, the opposite. I'm trying to get on with God. I'm trying to settle into God, but so I'm fighting. And then there was a bit more of a sense of just, well, it's like the beast of the no thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
That just accepts that and lets you be in the presence of God.
Yeah. Providing a sense of freedom, even like that part of humanity, that is just part of your life. And so you have to, that's part of it. It's a journey that you take with it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I love Johnny's illustration about maybe that day where his inside noise was a little louder while he was washing up. that grumbling on. I think we've all experienced that while washing up. I just don't want to be doing this right now.
Yeah, it's not but fair.
But then there's other days when actually it's, you know, it's almost a blessing to have your own time, to take that time.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, very good. Excellent stuff. Well, I hope that there's some stuff there that's helped you think about what it means to thrive in a time of crisis, and particularly this focus around being present in the presence of God. Love to hear anything from you about that, any tips or any reflections on what Johnny said. Do put it in the comments.
Yeah, and just before we wrap this one up, we do want to say thank you to Charlie for talking about our seating arrangement. We've decided to leave it how it is, just to tickle your fancy a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you to Lorraine commenting on my facial hair. I think the comment was something like, it's terrible. but it's staying for now, Lorraine, sorry.
Thank you for tuning this in with us this time. We're going to continue our series. We're going to be talking about our five key points.
What are they? They're being present in the presence of God. That's the first one. The second one is delighting in God's word. Third one is pausing in prayer. The fourth one is growing real relationships. And the fifth one is flowing in fruitfulness. So we're going to keep exploring all of those.
Yeah, so thank you for joining us this time. I hope that you feel slightly more equipped to thrive where you are today. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time. We're not telling you, Charlie, what's in this.